Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear it? Right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, just outside of Indianapolis. It is Thursday Night Thunder right out here. And, of course, we've got a lot going on here. We're going to be covering the stick and ball, baseball, basketball. $2 Bill Josh will be calling in. And right here beside me in the plush media center of Lucas Oil is R.J. Cunningham. R.J., can you hear me? I can't hear you in my ears. You got to love modern technology, R.J. Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine. But we're gonna try to get R.J. on here in a very short amount of time. Even if he has to call through his cell phone, we'll have him on. And it is Thursday Night Thunder right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, Indiana. So glad that you guys could join us. And we will get R.J. Cunningham on the air with us just as soon as we can. Now, this is a real exciting time. If you guys want to come on out and check out some great racing, the fun begins tonight at 6 o'clock right out here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Still waiting on a call from our... So we're also waiting on $2 Bill Josh to give us a call. We got a lot to talk about today. It's going to be an exciting time. Welcome to The Balance. Like I said, this is we're broadcasting live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway, and we kind of had to rush up to the media center here. Keep also in mind that you can give us a call, 917-889-8516. And we'll be glad to talk with you about anything that you got going on. When we get back, we're going to be talking more baseball, basketball, and, of course, racing here from on Thursday Night Thunder at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. We are live right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. I do believe we are now joined with the one and only R.J. Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine. R.J., are you with me now?
Yes, I believe I'm with you. You've kicked me out of the media center. I was here on time and first, and you're the one that kicked me out. That's typical of the first in command. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, whatever works.
Well, hey, I tell you what, it is one of those things. And also joining us on the line right here is $2 Bill Josh Elmore. Josh, are you with us today?
I'm here. How's everyone doing today?
We are good and ready to rock and roll. We are out here at Lucas Oil Raceway for Thursday Night Thunder. Now, guys, this is an exciting time, especially, and we'll get into more of that in the second hour with R.J. Cunningham and Trackside Review. But, R.J., can you tell us real quickly what's going on tonight here and what exactly is Thursday Night Thunder and what can they expect to see out here?
Well, Thursday Night Thunder is, once again, the program that USAC puts on with the Indianapolis Lucas Oil Raceway. It's a Thursday night program that's full of the pavement sprint cars that USAC has. Even though there is a sprint week starting this week with racetracks all around Indiana, Indiana Sprint Week, we've already got 17 sprint cars here. And then we also have the Thunder Roadsters, which is a they look very similar to the old-fashioned IndyCar roadsters, but they're actually with high-performance motorcycle motors. And they put on a great show, too. So, but we're not talking about racing on this hour. We're talking about stick and ball stuff, aren't we?
That's absolutely right. We do have a lot of stick and ball stuff to talk about. We do have your balls covered, myself and $2 Bill Josh. Josh, I know there's been an exciting change in the NBA. The Pacers now have a new head coach by the name of Frank Vogel. Josh, why don't you do the honors and introduce our listeners to Frank Vogel, and RJ, we'll catch up with you in the second hour.
Got it.
Real quick, before RJ hangs up, RJ, I just wanted to let you know.
He already hung up. He already hung up,
Josh. I'll come in the second hour. All right, but introducing our listeners to Frank Vogel. He's 38 years old. He has two beautiful daughters that I've been told will be at almost every Pacers home game with him. He has a beautiful wife. He has a really young family, which is, wouldn't you agree, Tom, is really odd for an NBA head coach to have a young family. Most NBA head coaches tend to be in their late 40s, 50s, or 60s, so it's kind of refreshing to see a young guy given a chance. Would you agree?
I would agree, absolutely. It's always good to see the young guys get out and be able to show an opportunity that they have, and especially a young guy like Frank Vogel. Now, a lot of people say that maybe he wasn't the best choice. A lot of people really weren't so happy with Larry Bird's decision to bring back Frank Vogel. We want to hear your thoughts on it. Give us a call, 917-889-8516 here on The Balance. We certainly want to talk with you, the listener, about what you think about the new Pacers coach. Of course, really at the end of the day, and we'll get into that here in just a moment, it really doesn't matter who the coach is, as they are under a lockout. So, Josh, tell us real quickly, what are your thoughts about the new coach? Do you think Larry Bird made a good decision in this, or do you think that maybe he should have went with someone like Casey, for example?
I think Larry Bird made the perfect hire. Me and you both live here in Indianapolis, Tom, so as you know as well as I do, the city of Indianapolis has fully, with both arms, embraced Frank Vogel. The media loves Frank Vogel. The Pacer fans love Frank Vogel. The front office loves Frank Vogel, but more importantly, his players love Frank Vogel, and there was no love between his players, those players, and Coach Jim O'Brien. So I think it's the perfect hire. And then you consider he started off at the University of Kentucky under Coach Rick Pitino as a volunteer who reviewed game film. He didn't get paid. He moved his kids to Lexington with no paycheck. They lived off soup and beans for a while. He worked his way up. He's paid his dues.
You mean kind of like the balance salary?
Kind of like what we get paid at the balance right now.
Well, maybe good things are in store for us. Well, Frank Vogel, obviously, like you said, spent his time as an interim coach there with the Indiana Pacers. And eventually became Jim O'Brien's replacement. Now, Vogel has a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of young blood. They gave him a 3-year contract. Now, my question to you, Josh, and let's dig into this thing a little bit, because obviously it means nothing if they don't have a season. I don't think they're going to have a season this year. So really, in theory, and let's just say they get this thing going next year, in theory, he only has 2 years. So is that really fair to give a young coach a 3-year contract starting out, knowing that we're going to be in a lockout and chances are we're not going to have an NBA season this year?
I do think it's fair. I also believe there's a clause, although it's an NBA contract. It's a private business contract. I don't believe they're required to make the contract public information. I'm pretty sure there's a clause that says his contract doesn't start until there's actually a season. So I'm going to look at it more as he has a four-year deal.
Okay. Well, that's one way to look at it, certainly a way that maybe I hadn't thought about. Now, keep in mind, listeners, we want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. One thing I do want to point out, that beginning on Monday, Josh and I and R.J. Cunningham will be bringing you a daily update. At least R.J. will be bringing you a weekly update on Mondays about to wrap up all of the racing that happened over the weekend and as well of what's to come in that particular week. Now, you and I, Josh, we're going to be doing a wrap-up every single day to wrap up what has happened in sports in the last 24 hours. Now, in the last 24 hours, we've had a lot of talk about Frank Vogel, but I also know that there's a lot of other stuff going on in the NBA. Real quickly, Josh, walk us around the NBA in the last 24 hours.
All right, in the last 24 hours, the Detroit Pistons are still looking for their head coach. The players and the owners still refuse to sit down at the table. Going back to Frank Vogel for a minute, one thing that I find odd, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Frank Vogel wasn't given the job for 2 months because Bird wanted to see what type of coaching staff he had. Dan Burke has worked for Larry Bird for 8 years since Larry Bird was Donnie Walsh's assistant starting back in 2003. Brian Shaw played with Larry Bird for 7 years in Boston. I personally think it's a little weird that there's a Bird man, if you want to call him that, and the two seats next to Frank Vogel. So my question is, how long a leash does Frank Vogel have when Brian Shaw has known Larry Bird since they played together? He was rumored to be the head coach for the L.A. Lakers job and didn't get it. Wouldn't you be a bit uncomfortable having a Bird man sitting next to you?
You know, and that is certainly something should be discussed, and certainly that that people have asked me that very same question. Here's my thing. If you're going to give somebody confidence to be the head coach, and he's a young guy, he needs to be surrounded by people who know what they're doing and know what they're talking about. But I don't believe for 1 minute that Larry Bird was waiting for Frank to bell a half before he announced that Vogel was going to be the coach. I think he wanted to exhaust every possibility. I mean, think about it. Indiana was interested in Mike Brown, obviously, but the former Pacers assistant and now Cleveland head coach, well, not now Cleveland head coach, took the job over at the Lakers. I mean, and then there was also names like Dwayne Casey, like I said at the very beginning of the show. I think Larry wanted to make sure that he exhausted everybody that he wanted to exhaust. Now, for whatever reason, and it looks to me like if they were really true Bird men, as you would say, they would not be out the side of Vogel, but whether Vogel would be on the side of him. Now, here's what I think. I think gave Vogel the job. One, I honestly don't think anybody else wanted it, could or was willing to pay what anybody else was asking. Two, I think with this lockout situation, no new coach wanted to come into a brand new organization and try to just create a program not knowing. Vogel was a security blanket. Vogel knows the team. Vogel has a good relationship with the players. I think if nothing else, they gave Vogel a 3-year contract as a chess piece, if you will, to try to get this lockout put together. Even though he can't have any direct contact with the players, one would think that he would have indirect contact with the players through whatever means legal for him to have.
That certainly makes sense. And having watched the press conference, the only part I'll disagree with you that on, it doesn't appear the Pacers are interested in anybody else, as Larry Bird has stated. Vogel's the only guy who got an interview. Nobody else really got more than a 10-minute phone call. But as far as I could see Vogel being the right fit, and I agree he's the right fit, but I have one problem with Frank Vogel. He's a little brash, arrogant, and cocky for my taste.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Frank.
Need?
Well, I think the Pacers need something. something to get them back on track. I mean, they did a lot of shake and bake to bring some good veteran players to the Pacers. Obviously, Hill's notable player that they brought through the draft, and really did a lot of shaking and baking to get him on the team and make him a part of the team. I think the Pacers and Larry Bird says that they have to have a veteran team to develop this young team whenever this lockout may or may not happen. So those are kind of my thoughts real quick. Josh, we're going to have to jump on a break. So before we do that, I walk us through the last 24 hours of the NBA.
Right now, there's really nothing to report. The latest report is the NBA is considering killing the WNBA during this lockout process. They think that'd be a horrible idea.
I totally agree. I think that to well, that's the only basketball that people's going to get anytime soon. So I think that and let's face it, they're two different types. That'd be like locking out the MLB during the NFL. They're two, even though it's the same sport. I mean, maybe because they're both owned and operated by the NBA. They think that they can do that. I don't agree with that at all. I haven't heard that was something that they were going to do, but I don't agree with the fact that they should exclude the WNBA just because the NBA can't get their act together.
I would agree.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. Josh, when we get back, we're going to break down this lockout here, and then in the second half of the balance here, we're going to really dive into the MLB. We've got the All-Star break coming up. We're going to talk some Indians. We're going to talk some MLB, and we got a lot of stuff going on with Major League Baseball, which has kind of taken the back burner here recently with the balance, but we're going to get back on track with that right when we get back on the balance. And remember, guys, we want to hear your calls at 917-889-8516.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. We are live right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis. Myself and $2 Bill Josh, we're talking about the NBA lockout, and also we're also talking about the new head coach, Frank Vogel. 917-889-8516 is our number. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, caller, who's this? Hi, caller, who's this? Are you there, caller? Apparently, we don't have a caller. Okay, if you were calling from the 918 area code, we will try to get you back on here in the next few minutes. But go ahead, Josh. Let's break down the NBA lockout. What does it mean? How far apart they are? And those of us that might be underneath a rock and may not know exactly what's going on with the NBA lockout as opposed to the NFL lockout, maybe you can help us understand that a little bit better.
The NBA lockout, I don't think there's going to be a season this year. There's been several sources that say the owners nor the players are really anxious to sit down at the table. The owners want to kill the players' union. Whereas in the NFL, the players killed the players' union. The NBA wants to kill the players' union. And there's several NBA owners that have an NHL owner, and the NHL owners, they force the players to miss an entire year's worth of paycheck. And they got every single thing they wanted from the NHL players. The NHL players got nothing of what they wanted and everything that the owners wanted. If the NBA owners are serious about changing the landscape of the NBA, if you force these millionaires, as most Americans are going to see them, greedy millionaires, to force an entire year's worth of pay, at the end of the day, there's a pretty good chance they're going to give the NBA owners everything they want. So the owners have no incentive to sit down at the table until next summer. They're not really losing anything.
Right, and here's the thing. I mean, they're a long ways apart. I mean, I understand that we're in the off season, but keep in mind we've got some people like, for example, Deron Williams could leave and go for a gig out in Turkey, and he's not the only player. And international teams, as a rule, rarely try to cross the NBA when it comes to grabbing players from the ranks during a work stoppage. But at this point, it looks like that rule might change, and like I said, New Jersey Nets guard Deron Williams is talking about going out to Turkey. He's certainly not the only player that looks like it's going to be making a change. And here's the thing: Williams is still under a contract to the Nets, and due to make about $34 million over the next 2 years before becoming a free agent in 2013. So my question is, if these players cross the ranks, if you will, what kind of ramification pay-wise are they going to suffer? Or do the Nets, for example, still have to pay Deron Williams, even if he hops a plane and goes to Turkey and plays basketball out there until the NBA can get their act together?
Those are great questions. Unfortunately, nobody can answer them at the time because it's never happened before. But one would suspect, since he's under contract, if another team tried to sign him in New Jersey, he could take that team to court. I don't know which court it would be because they would be overseas and New Jersey's in America, and I don't understand enough about the judicial system to know what court and what country and claim that they can't sign him because he's already under contract.
Right. Well, and I tell you what, I don't know really that the reason for this lockout is all about the NBA's financial issues. I mean, the NBA owners are making money. They're not losing money. But are they hiding money, Josh? That is the million-dollar question, no pun intended. Or are they really siphoning money that maybe should go to the players? Let's look at it from that angle. Or is the NBA hiding money? Are they bleeding money?
That's the question. The NBA players want to see the books, but the NBA owners won't show them the book. And you, we're both businessmen here. We operate in two totally different businesses. But I believe as a private owner, the NBA owners are under no obligation to let the players see the book. There's no legal action the players can take to see the books. Am I right?
Well, I mean, I don't know about what legal action. Obviously, they're trying to take every legal action that they can and exhaust every legal opportunity that they can to, in fact, get that shown to them. But like you just said, it's a private business. And at the end of the day, just like with the NFL, the NBA, or anybody else, if you're under contract to a company, you are an employee, as high paid of an employee as you might be. Employers in the United States, for example, are not necessarily required by law to disclose to their employees how much money they make in a profit, unless you're a shareholder. Now, if you're a shareholder, then absolutely you have to be disclosed absolute full profit disclosure. But these players are not shareholders. They are employees at the end of the day. And the NBA's lockout will mark its one-week anniversary Friday, and just really recent nothingness. This whole thing with lockout between the NFL and the NBA, Josh, has become extremely exhausting to me. And as a fan, and what we do here with the balance, and what we try to do is we try to cover sports from the fans' perspective, and you know that's what we do here. And one of the things that I think as a fan, come on, it is absolutely exhausting me to be a sports fan and to know that you know, I may or may not be able to go to an NFL game. I've spent all this money on season tickets, and the same thing with the NBA. And in the loom and in the horizon is the MLB. When does it stop? Are you still
looking? I would have to agree with that, but I hope Major League Baseball doesn't go on strike. Shifting topics a little bit, I don't know that I've ever been more in love with the game of baseball than I am right now. You know, you got the Pirates. They're within a half game of the St. Louis Cardinals for that division. The Nationals are within striking distance of the Phillies. You got the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Cubs are starting to turn it on a little bit. Just that's a lot of parity in baseball. I would say the numbers show is coming back in popularity. Now, how much of that do you contribute to the NFL and the NBA lockout, or do you think it's purely because there's more competitive teams?
Well, I think you got a little bit of everything there. I think one of the biggest things, obviously, is that there is an NBA lockout, there is an NFL lockout, and so what else do you got? I mean, you don't have hockey. You've got some World Cup action going on, or some soccer action going on. That's pretty bad that the sports bars are showing soccer now. They're not showing highlights of anything but baseball and soccer. Not that soccer's not a sport, and I know all you guys are going to jump on me and say, wait a minute, soccer is a sport. Hey, we do want to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. We've got about 30 minutes left in the show. We're going to spend about the next 5 minutes talking NBA. And when we get back in the last segment of the balance anyway, what we're going to do is we're really going to break down the MLB, the MLB All-Star Game, and we're really going to get into the MLB, and we can certainly talk more about that as well. Now, Josh, we talk a lot about the Pacers here on this show because the show is based here in Indianapolis. It's our home team. But the Pacers aren't the only one that's having a hard time in the coaching arena. What other teams are looking for a good coach out there this season? And do you think that the lockout's going to affect their ability to get a good coach?
Right now, the only other job left open, well, I guess there's two jobs left open. Minnesota's looking for a coach. They're not really actively looking. And Detroit's looking for a coach. I keep hearing the name Patrick Ewing, the all-time great center. Kelvin Sampson and Bill Laimbeer, who's also a Hall of Famer, is a candidate for the Pistons job. I've heard Jim O'Brien mentioned as a candidate for the Minnesota job if they want him. As a semi-Pacer fan or a Pacer fan, let Minnesota have Jim O'Brien.
Go ahead, Josh. You cut off in the last part there. What'd you say?
It appears the Minnesota Timberwolves are really interested in Jim O'Brien. As far as I'm concerned, they can go ahead and hire him.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, we got about 5 minutes left here or so. And I know coming up here, we are live here at Lucas Oil Raceway for Thursday Night Thunder. RJ Cunningham's coming up in the second half of the hour at 5 o'clock to talk racing. And what I'm going to do real quickly is I'm going to turn the headset over here to RJ Cunningham. And you and Josh, you and RJ Cunningham can talk a little bit about racing and what's coming up here in the second half and what's going on here at Lucas Oil Raceway. Why, I actually try to get RJ Cunningham's Skype working. So, RJ, it's all yours, buddy.
You know, it's funny. I do like stick and ball sports, and I do like Josh's thoughts. So, anyway, Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. RJ, I just wanted to make mention of the fact I got a new camera last week, and I'm looking forward to being able to shoot some pictures for the Trackside Review magazine, but I also wanted to get your thoughts on IMS completely taking advantage of Lucas Oil Raceway and basically away their only major event other than drag racing.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. There's some long faces here today. You know, it's something that was rumored for really the last couple of years, but I really never thought it would happen. You know, the bottom line is they're trying their best to keep the Brickyard 400 on the books. And to do that, they had to do some other things, and they had to spend some money, and they had to steal one of the best races of nationwide series history, as far as I'm concerned. This was one of the best races between the trucks and the stock cars that was ever on the nationwide circuit. And, you know, it's really upsetting to me to see this happen because the racing is not anywhere going to be anywhere close to what it was here. And, you know, I think eventually, this is my personal opinion, I think eventually the Brickyard 400 is going to go away just because people don't like the race.
I would agree, and I don't really care for the Brickyard 400. It's hard to pass in Indianapolis, but do you think Ryan Fance is telling the truth, or do you think he was lying when he said that he would consider running nationwide at both IMS and Lucas Oil Raceway?
Well, I don't know. It's a possibility they might change. They might do another date. I think the fans are going to voice their opinions until they put up or shut up one way or the other, that's for sure. But, you know, it's just something that, you know, it was kind of rumored, but like I say, I never thought it would happen. I myself like the short track races, and, you know, I considered the Kroger race a short track race, even though it isn't.
Normal feeling at the moment. We did have you fixed. So RJ Cunningham, we'll be back in the second half of the show here, and we will talk more racing here live from Lucas Oil Raceway. Josh, go ahead and give us your final thoughts. We're going to go ahead and take your thoughts here as RJ and I switch spots again, and we'll go into a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk more baseball. In fact, that's all we're going to talk about for the last 30 minutes of the balance.
Okay, just tuning in to watch some MLB baseball. It's an exciting time in baseball. I know you got the Pittsburgh Pirates threatening to win the NL Central. Would be an awesome story. The Nationals are prominent. There's a lot of cool storylines going on in MLB baseball right now.
All right, go ahead, Josh. I'm back. I'm back in the driver's seat.
I wasn't quite sure what's going on. There's a little bit of a weird noise. I was just saying how there's a lot of exciting storylines going on in MLB baseball right now, maybe more so than I can remember in any of the past few summers.
Right, and there's a lot of exciting storylines. Obviously, one of the big storylines is what's going on with those St. Louis Cardinals. Obviously, I follow the Cardinals, but come on, is Albert Pujols going to be a Cardinal next year or not? That is certainly one thing that we're going to talk about. When we get back, guys, we also want to make sure that we want to thank our sponsor, Sam Pierce Chevrolet in Daleville, Indiana, 765-387-4293. Give Sam Pierce a call today. I tell you what, he has a Chevy for you to drive, so just give him a call. We'll be right back, and when we get back, we're going to talk more MLB. In fact, that's all we're going to talk is baseball. Of course, we're coming up on the All-Star break, so we want to make sure we talk about that. We're also going to talk some AAA action and those Indianapolis Indians. So stay right here on The Balance. We'll be right back.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
lights are up. Up to bat, to bat. I thought I hit a love run.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. We're live right here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park, just outside of Indianapolis, just west of Indianapolis. You cannot miss the big track west of Indianapolis. We are out here for Thursday Night Thunder. It's going to be a great night out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. And coming up in the second hour of the show, Trackside Review Radio Style, myself and R.J. Cunningham will and Statman Steve will break down all of the action. And again, welcome to The Balance. Do we have a caller on the line with us here? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, then,
hi, who's this?
This is Diana.
Hi, this?
Diana.
Hi, Diana, how are you?
I'm
hi,
good.
Hi, Diana, how are you?
Sounds like you're having fun.
Good.
I'm in Plainfield, Indiana, and I might drive up there. I have a 1992 Honda Accord for sale for $2,400. Only 109,000 miles, and it drives good. So,
okay.
Anybody interested, email me at MountainDiva at hotmail.com.
All right. Well, thanks for
giving
us a
listen. I thought you might need another car to bang up or something. Because it'll drive 100 miles an hour. I do that when nobody's looking.
You do drive it 100 miles an hour when nobody's looking. Well, we're so glad that you could give us a call. Come on out here to Lucas Oil Raceway. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, Josh. You never know what you're going to get on the caller line. Thanks, caller, for giving us a call. She gave her email there. If you guys are looking for a new vehicle, giving Diana an email, and I'm sure that she'll be glad to talk with you. Now Josh, let's dive right into the MLB and baseball. Let's talk a little bit about the Indians. The Indians, I tell you what, I was out there on the 4th of July, and they really put it together in the last inning. They didn't put it together, obviously, but they're starting to slip a little bit. Josh, what's going on with the Indianapolis Indians?
I've been out of town recently, so I've lost track of the Indianapolis Indians a little bit. I believe they're hovering right around 500. A lot of their good players are up in Pittsburgh right now. Pittsburgh absolutely is on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Tom, they're going to need to take the division lead away from your St. Louis Cardinals any day now.
Well, I tell you what, that is good. And from the aspect, from when I say that's good, I mean that's good for the Pirates. That's not necessarily good for the Cardinals. And I tell you what, though, the Cardinals are just hanging on by a thread. But actually, Pittsburgh, I believe, is a half a game back, and I could be wrong about that. I'll have to check that in just a moment. But I think they're about a half a game back on that. I think you're absolutely right on that there, Josh. So, Josh, tell us a little bit about – I know that you've been out of town, but I know you've been following your Boston Red Sox. Number one in the American League East, and they have a streak going on now of 5 wins. They're 19-13 at home and 16-13 on the road. They got a game tonight, I guess, against the Baltimore Orioles, starting up at 7:10 p.m. Eastern. Josh, what's going on with them?
The Red Sox continue to get better. Although they continue to have injury problems, they continue to get better. They're hanging right in there at the New York Yankees. I look for the Red Sox to pick up another starter or two before the trade deadline. There's plenty of teams selling right now. There's a few teams buying. But we're hanging in there. After we started off 2-10, I'll gladly take only being a half game out of the division lead.
Well, I tell you what, you were talking about the Pirates a while ago, and I know that there's been some talk about the Pirates doing some trading, the Phillies and the Mets. What are some of the big trade rumors that are going on out there as we do approach this deadline, Josh?
One big rumor has the Red Sox picking up Clayton Kershaw from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's been a horrible season to be a Dodgers fan. Bankruptcy, divorce, basically.
All kinds of debauchery going on with the Dodgers. And we had Mark Timmons from L.A. Dodger talk on the line a couple of weeks ago and really broke down what's going on out there in Los Angeles. And you're right, a lot of stuff. If you are a Dodgers fan, well, just hang loose with them, maybe they'll get things together. But there is a dark cloud, much like the dark cloud that's looming over Lucas Oil Raceway right now. But there is a dark cloud looming over the L.A. Dodgers there, Josh.
Yeah, I would agree. Another big trade possibility has the Red Sox looking to add a catcher. I don't really see what the point of adding a catcher would be, as we have Veritek at Saltamacchia. But it's still a bit early in the month of July for there to be any big, big trade rumors. Maybe look to see Prince Fielder dealt if Milwaukee falls out of contention. And, Tom, I'm going to even say it. If the Cardinals can't get a definitive answer, the Pujols will indeed sign. If you're a Cardinal, you got to consider trading them and getting prospects rather than just letting them walk.
Oh, they've got to work something out with Albert Pujols. I know that he is adamant about not talking to the press, about not talking to the Cardinals, about any type of contract negotiations at all until the end of the season, which, as it should be, the focus should be on playing baseball. He doesn't want to bring any distractions to the team, and especially now, especially with his injury and everything, already bringing enough distraction as it is. But you're absolutely right. The Cardinals have to get something together. Even if it's, hey, you know, we're going to draft this, we're going to put this together, we have to keep Albert Pujols. I don't know. One would think that Albert Pujols is a very important commodity for the Cardinals to hang on to. Again, from the fans' perspective, that is huge. They don't want to lose. I don't want to lose Albert Pujols as a fan of the Cardinals. I don't think he'll end up. I don't think he'll end up as a Cub. I think he'll probably, if he goes anywhere, it'll be the Angels. I know there's been some talks about the Mets and this and that and the other, but pretty much if you're Albert Pujols, you can go anywhere you want. I don't see him staying in the National League. I think there again, he's one that doesn't like to bring a lot of attention to himself per se. I think that what this has done is it's an unfortunate thing, but you know, there's a lot that goes into these contract negotiations, and you know, Albert is in that point in his career where he's not getting any younger. That's for sure. Can he demand the kind of money that he's demanding? He probably can. Is he going to get it from the Cardinals? I don't think so. So I think that they're going to find a way to keep him. I don't know exactly what that's going to be, who they're going to have to let go to make that happen. Maybe Holiday's somebody that they're going to have to let go to make that happen. I don't know. That's just something that I'm throwing out there. But it is getting to that point where us Cardinal fans are a little bit worried about what's going to happen in the postseason with the St. Louis Cardinals. But you can never tell what happens in the postseason. I mean, what would have happened if the Yankees would have acquired Cliff Lee over the summer? What would that have done to your Red Sox there, Josh?
That's a good question, but I want to get your opinion on this. If you're the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's going to be trade deadline, and you ask Albert Pujols, can I count on you, point blank, to sign a contract at the end of the offseason, during the offseason, he says no. Would you consider trading him for what would be one of the biggest hoarding of prospects or get back of prospects or whatever phrase you want to use in MLB history?
Right. No, I understand. I've got a partner here in the broadcast booth with me, you know, kind of like the movie Major League, where you've got this guy in the booth with you. I've got a guy sitting here in the broadcast booth with me that's extremely technologically challenged. So, you know, I apologize that. But hey, that's why he follows race cars, right? And that's why he depends on us. That's fine. But really there, Josh, I apologize. I just didn't hear that last thing you were saying there. So go ahead there, buddy.
All right. If you were the St. Louis Cardinals and it's trade deadline day and you ask Albert Pujols, can we count on you 100% to sign a contract? And he goes, maybe. Would you consider at that point trading him rather than taking the risk that he just walks and you're left holding an empty shopping cart?
Well, I don't think that's ever going to happen with Albert Pujols. First of all, like I said, he can call the shots here. He's made it clear that he is not going to discuss it either which way. He's not even going to give them a maybe. He's not going to give them anything. So if the Cardinals want to shop, let them shop. But I can tell you one thing. They aren't going to consider anybody until they have an answer from Albert Pujols, even if it's all the way up until the first day of spring training of next year. They're not going to do anything until Albert says, hey, you know, I'm going to stay. Or I'm not going to stay. I mean, here's the thing. I think he will stay. I think that he wants to, the old adage goes, he wants to let the other person sweat a little bit. I think that he is going to stay. I don't know what it's going to take to make him stay, but I absolutely believe that he's going to stay a Cardinal. I'm not just saying that because I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. Okay, yeah, I am. But at the same time, I think that he's been there so long. He has such a heritage there, such a lineage there, that for him to leave St. Louis would be a hard personal decision for him to make. And let's face it, he is the best player in baseball. I don't see anybody getting any better than him. He's asking to get paid. He's going to get paid. Now, is he going to get the amount of money that he's asking at the beginning of the season? I think he'll come down on that. I think that he knows that his fan base is in St. Louis. I think that's very, very important to him. And I think that the Cardinals will offer them everything they can. I don't think they'll trade him unless, you know, I don't know, maybe if they go 20 games out of first place by the time the trade deadline comes around. I don't see that happening. Especially now, obviously, that's not going to happen. So I think the Cardinals will refuse to give him the $300 million that he's asking. The Dodgers are not going to give it to him. The only team that might give it to him is the Angels, possibly. The Yankees, possibly. I can't see him going to the Yankees under any circumstance. So, I mean, if anybody's going to give it to him, it's going to be the Angels. And then it's going to be, does he want to let his fan base down? And maybe there's another way other than the $300 million to keep Albert Pujols as a Cardinal.
I would agree, but I'm going to go ahead and Tom's probably going to think that I'm saying this just because I'm a Red Sox fan. If the Yankees won't give him the $300 million, and I don't think the Angels will, we all know David Ortiz is getting old. And the Red Sox have Adrian Gonzalez, who's only 28 years old, at first base. Maybe they move him to DH, and they play Albert play first base. At Boston, I just, at the end of the day, think he'll either be a Cardinal, a Red Sox, or a Yankee. I cannot see him going to L.A. I cannot see him being a Cub. It'll be one of those three teams.
I can't see him going to the Yankees. Now, the Red Sox, that is a possibility. I don't see Albert going to any team to play DH, though. That's just not his forte. He's a National League guy anyway. So, I mean, for him to just totally just say, oh, okay, I'm going to go play DH in Boston. No, that's absurd. I can't see that happening at all. He's going to stay with the Cardinals. I don't even know why we're talking about this, because I think we need to just know that nothing's going to be made. A decision's going to be made on this until the end of the season. No matter where the Cardinals end up at, if the Cardinals go to the World Series, he might stay around. They don't go to the World Series, he may not. That may not be his issue. His issue might be more than money. So, you know, it'll certainly play out, and obviously it'll play out in every headline out there when that time comes around. But, you know, we got to focus at what's hand. And as a baseball fan and as a baseball team, the Cardinals cannot be concerned about Albert Pujols right now. They just can't be. Is it on the back of their mind? Yes, it should be. Absolutely. Should the upper management be thinking about, hey, what are we going to do with Albert Pujols? What are some of the scenarios that we can put together? What happens if he doesn't stay? Yes. In their private meetings, in the private boardrooms, you know that that's the forefront of the conversation. But it's certainly not the forefront of the conversation here on The Balance, because we're about the fans, and the fans have a sport that's not locked out. There's no danger that it's going to be locked out anytime soon. We've got some great young players coming up from the AAA, as we're seeing with the Columbus Clippers, and we're seeing with the Indianapolis Indians and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we're also seeing with the Toledo Mud Hens and the Detroit Tigers, and we're seeing these young players come up from the AAA really starting to make a difference in the MLB, and young players that will make a long-term difference. And speaking of long-term, we have the MLB All-Star break coming up, and we certainly want to talk about the All-Stars. We want to make sure that we take our...
We have breaking baseball news while we're on MLB. This just in, the MLB Network. Hall of Famer Dick Williams has just passed away a little bit of maybe an hour or so ago. He won the 72 and 73 World Series with the Oakland Athletics as their manager.
Right.
So,
and
certainly
Right, absolutely. He was one of the greats, and we could certainly talk more about that on tomorrow and on the wrap up and that sort of stuff. So our thoughts and prayers certainly do go with him. We do want to make sure we thank our sponsor, Sam Pierce Chevrolet, 765-387-4293, for sponsoring the balance and trackside review as well. We'll be right back. And when we do get back, we're going to talk more baseball, and we're going to talk about the All-Star break and what's going on with that.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. We are live, Lucas Oil Raceway Park here in Indianapolis, Indiana, just west of Indianapolis, and it's Thursday Night Thunder. It's going to be a great time out here. We've got RJ Cunningham standing by getting ready to go with Trackside Review Radio Style, and we'll have that coming up right here at the top of the hour. Right now, myself and $2 Bill Josh Elmore is on the line, and we are ready to rock and roll and talk a little bit about the upcoming All-Star break, the All-Star game, 2011 All-Star game, MLB game, out in Chase Field in Phoenix. Now, Josh, who are some of your favorites in the All-Star game? What do you think is going to happen with the Home Run Derby? Let's break down the All-Star and the final vote and what's going on in the All-Star game.
Well, I've taken advantage of the final vote. I voted for Paul Konerko some 50 times in the final vote, as you're allowed to vote over and over and over and over again in the final vote. I've also voted for Michael Morris of the Washington Nationals in the final vote. Obviously, I'd like to see Big Pappy, since he has to participate in the Home Run Derby, win the Home Run Derby. As a Red Sox fan, though, Francona, owner of the Red Sox, find a reason, give him his $50,000 game check, and tell him to sit down. You hear a lot of players talk about they spend more energy in the Home Run Derby than they do at any other point in the season. We're in a dogfight with the Yankees right now. I'd like to see him win it. Although, they're wrong to say, I'd rather see him not play.
I don't know. I'd say one great thing about the All-Stars, it's fun for everybody, and it's fun for the fans, and it's a great, obviously, you know, we like to see a good representation of our favorite players. I mean, the final vote, the standings are out there. Who's going to be in the Home Run Derby? I love the Home Run Derby myself. I love to watch the Home Run Derby every year, and I think it's always fun to watch that, and that's just a fun opportunity, and myself, to get out there and, I mean, to watch that and I would get out there and hit some home runs. You know what, Josh? I got it like that. I could definitely hit some home runs against the best of them.
You do kind of resemble David Ortiz.
Is that right? Why is that?
You guys face just mess. If you guys are kind of stiff, like, I'm just messing with you.
Hey, we do want to hear your thoughts about the MLB lockout. I mean, not the lockout. See, you've got me on lockout, Josh. The MLB All-Star break. 917-889-8516, the number you got to call. We got about 5 minutes left right here on the balance portion of the show, and then we're going to move right on over to the Trackside Review Radio Style. It is Thursday Night Thunder out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. I want to make sure that you guys are tuning into our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and give us your thoughts on there as well. And you can send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com or follow us on Twitter on tbalance. Now, Josh, have you ever been out there to Chase Field in Phoenix?
No, I never have. I would love to go out there. I'm really hoping Jeter, and this is an important story, maybe we should spend the last few minutes of the balance talking about it. Derek Jeter is three hits shy of 3,000. He would be, no Yankee has ever, they won 26 World Series. They have, I don't know how many Hall of Famers. They have Memorial Park, whatever that is they call it out there in the outfield. No Yankee has ever hit 3,000 hits. So my question to you, Thomas, not if, but when Derek Jeter gets 3,000 hits, does that make him the greatest Yankee of all time, even though they've had the Mick and Babe Ruth and DiMaggio and Gary?
Well, I absolutely refuse to say that Derek Jeter is one of the best baseball players of all time. I absolutely refuse to lower myself to saying that about Derek Jeter in any capacity on any team. So that said, I don't think I'll ever, ever, ever say that Derek Jeter, the greatest Yankees of all time. He is my least favorite player out there, and I think that he has caused more problems and more distractions for the MLB than any other player out there. And he's a Yankee. So, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know. I like his teammate Texeria if I'm going to pick a Yankee to be an up-and-coming Yankee.
Well, I don't like Jeter either, but I'm sure putting all that personal stuff aside, you would admit that 3,000 hits is quite an accomplishment.
It is. It's a good accomplishment. Great job, Derek Jeter. You got the props from the balance. Let's move on. The best players are not selected to the MLB All-Star Game. Josh, tell me who you think got left out of the loop that should have been there this year.
Victor Martinez. I mean, I know the Detroit Tigers already have a starting catcher, but the two best catchers in the American League both play for the Detroit Tigers. Why aren't they both in the All-Star game?
That's a good point. And we want to hear you guys' thoughts. Who got left out this year that should have been in the MLB All-Star? 917-889-8516. We got about 3 or 4 minutes for your calls, and then we're going to turn it over to R.J. Cunningham, live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park in Indianapolis for Thursday Night Thunder. And I agree with you, Josh. Some of the best players weren't selected to the MLB All-Star Game. Why that is, I don't know. I mean, I think that there was a lot of good players out there. Maybe they all don't deserve a spot on the roster. I mean, they do call it All-Stars for a reason. I'm not sure as to why some players made it and some did not. I don't know. But this is a good time also for teams to get rehabilitated. Obviously, we will hope. We were talking about Albert Pujols earlier. Obviously, we hope that Albert Pujols will be healthy and use this All-Star break as an opportunity to get healthy. I think this is a good opportunity for players to get healthy. Again, the All-Star game is coming up. It'll be out there at Chase Field in Phoenix. Make sure that you guys check that out. And, guys, get out there and support your local AAA team or your local AA team, because I tell you what, that's the players of the future. And get out there, especially if you're here in Indianapolis, go down to Victory Field, catch a baseball game up close and personal. And if you're in Fort Wayne, for example, you got the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. I mean, obviously, if Toledo, you got the Toledo Mud Hens. Columbus, Columbus Clippers and so forth. So Josh, I'm going to go ahead and give you the 2-minute warning. Go ahead and take us into a 2-minute warning. And when we get out of the 2-minute warning, that's going to wrap it up with the balance. And when we get back on the top of the hour, we've got R.J. Cunningham standing by with I know he's got a special guest. Dick Jordan from USAC Public Relations is going to be on the show. It's Thursday Night Thunder out here at Lucas Oil Raceway here in Indianapolis. Josh, go ahead and give us our 2-minute warning.
All right, I'm going to do it sort of a different 2-minute warning today. I'm issuing the challenge. Whether you're a fan of the NBA, you're a fan of the NFL, don't send your money in for season tickets. Call the owner, write the paper, email the team, write the team. Remind them that at the end of the day, the millions of dollars they're arguing about come out of our pocket. Sure, a fair majority come out of the network channel, network deals, but if fans stop watching it on TV, they don't get that money. So remind them when they're arguing over these millions of dollars that if we have to go to work, we work hard. A lot of fans live paycheck to paycheck. They pick up a second job to go get their tickets. Tell them enough is enough. Go support high school sports or college sports. Tell the owners enough is enough. Either figure it out or lose fans.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. That's a 2-minute warning. This is The Balance. We'll be right back. And we'll get back. It is Track Side Review Radio Style 5 from Lucas Oil Raceway Park in Indianapolis.
Single ladies cracking hard to come to do the rest. Stepping the way, multiple shots are going through your test. You must have gone fast as far as part two is blessed. And now the deck of my...
Mimi.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. What? If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com. Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Here comes Speed Racer, he's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
All right, and welcome to Trackside Review Radio Style. Sitting right beside me here is R.J. Cunningham. R.J., we're live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park for Thursday Night Thunder. What an exciting time it is to have Thursday Night Thunder back here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that was the Nationwide Series. It's nominated next year. That's fans and the cars and everything.
I would really like to know why you always get all the top dog stuff. My stuff is always
the backup equipment, so to speak.
I don't know what you speak out there, RJ.
Well, I can hear nothing, and you can hear everything. And that's usually the way it is. You don't let me touch any buttons. I can't do anything over here.
You're not allowed to touch any buttons. But right here with us also is Dick Jordan. I'm going to let you go ahead and talk with Dick Jordan from USAC, Public Relations Director. It's going to be a great show, Thursday Night Thunder. You and Dick Jordan can talk about what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and give him my headset. I'm going to give Dick Jordan the master
the ears,
good stuff.
Here. So you can hear the good stuff.
But just so you know, you'll be able to hear him because he's sitting right next to you.
I know that.
Okay. All righty.
Hey, race fans. Welcome to Trackside Review Radio Style. We have two separate computers here, and it makes it interesting. So one, anyway, Dick's got another. He's very busy right now because it's a heavy hitting season sack right now. We've got Indiana Sprint Week starting this week, and Dick, you are going to be going to a lot of races. Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of races. We actually started last night at the Indianapolis Bryant Heating and Cooling Indianapolis Speedrome with our triple header event featuring the D1 Midgets and the Ford Focus and Focus Young Guns. And then tonight, of course, we're here at Lucas Oil Raceway. And then it stays hectic for about the next 7-8 days. Actually, I'm going to be working about 14 races in 11 nights.
Yeah.
So.
And even though Dick is just a year or two older than me, he kicked my butt playing basketball years ago. And I told him, I'm never going to live that down. That should have never happened. I don't understand. I was a little off my game that day.
It wasn't really that hard. Did I say that?
Oh, boy. It's sprinkling a little bit here, but the cars are covered, but they haven't lost the track. It's not going to happen. It looks like the rain's going to move out of here pretty quick and get this deal in. But the car count's a little bit low tonight because of the Indiana Sprint Week, I think, but yet all the top dogs are here. There's some good cars here tonight, Dick.
Yeah, we've actually got 16 cars on the grounds, but I was talking with some of the other people up here explaining to them, I'm not sure there's any junk here at all. These are all top quality pavement sprint cars. And in this field, I mean, almost the entire field has an opportunity to win this race. The talent here is exceptional. We've got, when you talk about pavement sprint car racing, obviously most of these drivers here already have a strong history, not only with USAC, but in other fields too. And one of the biggest races of the year on pavement, obviously, is the Little 500 at Anderson, Indiana. And we are fortunate tonight to have 9-time Little 500 winner Eric Forden on the grounds, as well as the defending champion of the Little 500, Chris Windham, is here as well. So, and that's in addition to our normal stars that populate our pavement sprint car races, the Bobby East. And Bobby Santos is currently leading our point standings out of Massachusetts. Bobby East has been very successful on the pavement this year. The Swanson boys are here. They've done very well at Lucas Oil Raceway in recent times, and it's a tremendous field. So,
well, you know, I've been following USAC for a number of years. We've got people all over the world, actually, that can listen to this show. I want you to explain, I know I'm catching you off guard, but explain all the divisions that USAC does handle right now. I know you have the quarter midgets that USAC sanctions, quite a few quarter midgets. And explain to the fans that aren't familiar with USAC exactly what you guys do.
Well, I think it kind of starts with an explanation of where we've been and where we're headed. If I might take a few minutes there. The United States Auto Club started in 1956, and we've sanctioned over 8,500 and some races in those 56 years, actually. And it's involved a myriad of things, everything from quarter midgets, which we are involved in now. We call them 0.25s. But it goes all the way up to the Indianapolis 500, which we sanctioned for 42 years. We've been involved in the Formula One race, the Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're involved in the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. We're involved in a lot of other motorsports venues. And we've been involved in just about every type of four-wheel motorized competition since day one. But it, our focus and our inventory continues to change as times change. Right now we have our three major series, obviously our Traxxas Silver Crown Championship Series, our AMSOIL National Sprint Car Series, and our Mopar National Midget Series. Those are our three primary national championships. And then we have a combined championship that we've created amongst those three series called the National Drivers Championship, which is something new, which was started last year. It's a combination of points from all three of those series to proclaim a true USAC National Driving Champion, which Brian Clausen won that last year. And as part of his prize package, obviously, he got to compete in the oval races with the Firestone Indy Lights Series, which he's, by the way, he's done very well in this year. He's had a third, fourth, and fifth in three starts.
Yeah, I've seen him run at Milwaukee, and I saw him run at Iowa, and obviously at Indy, and he did very well in all of them.
Great finishes. Our inventory right now not only consists of those three national series, but we have a lot of other finger series that kind of lead into that as well. We start with the Mopar 2.25 quarter midgets, which right now are at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with their Battle at the Brickyard this week, which is one of the main keystone events of that series. And then we branch up from there into the Ford Focuses, the Focus Young Guns, which those are restricted Ford Focus for younger drivers. And then we move on into the midgets, sprint cars, Silver Crown Championship cars, and we're involved in a number of other series, but primarily open wheel competition, front engine cars are our forte. We have a lot of series competing on the West Coast, sprint cars, midgets, Ford Focus, Focus Young Guns, as well as in the Midwest. So between all of this activity, we conduct about 300 and some races a year, and it involves about 17 or 18 different racing series. But within those series, there are separate point championships for dirt, pavement, like Southern California, Northern California. Our point standings list is monumental. We've got probably 43 or 44 different point standings being adjusted almost weekly.
Yeah, I know. Just your press releases alone that come to TrackSideReview.com are, you know, 9 or 10 on a Monday and 8 or 9 on Thursday. And then, you know, it's a weekly thing. And you know, I cut and paste, and I try to put the right logo with the right series. And I keep trying to, okay, and I wonder which one is that, you know. And as long as I get the USAC logo there, I'm good. But, you know, I'm still learning, and there's rumors that you guys are trying to do something else too, but I'm going to just keep my mouth shut there. That's just a rumor I heard at Milwaukee and at Iowa. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut there. You guys will let people know if that happens, but.
We're also obviously involved in this new Torque truck series, which we did last year. We actually became the sanctioning body for the first year on a full-time basis, and we're doing that again this year. We have a number of events spread across the Midwest with the off-road trucks. That's been fairly successful for us. We're looking forward to a great future with that. But then we've got some other things that we're getting involved into as well. And the new Gold Crown Championship car, which is a kind of a refinement of the upgraded Silver Crown Championship car that we tried several years back. And now we're in a process, a little bit of a downtime, developing a new car, which will kind of replace that and become the new USAC Gold Crown Championship car at some point in time.
Yeah, I saw that run at Brian Tyler ran that around Milwaukee. In 2 minutes? I've got 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And I noticed that he was touching buttons. I get in trouble, and Dick was over here touching buttons, I'm telling you. No, hey, this is fun, guys. It is raining a little bit. I didn't think, I thought it was just sprinkling. It's sun shining over there to my left, which is north, and right above us there's just a little bit of rain, which, hey, that's not good for racing. But
yeah, don't let that discourage you, because I think we're okay for tonight. I think we'll get this in.
I'm really looking forward to it. And really, when it comes to a race like this, it helps in a way, because a lot of people get off work and they can come at the last minute. I noticed we had another car come in. I don't know what it's for, whether it's one of the roadsters or whether it's one of the sprint cars. But, hey, that's not my phone. Okay. Still going? Okay. Tom's negotiating the Ford over here by standing behind us. And Dick has got – he's a busy man. He's got another radio gig. He's got to get on at 6 o'clock. But we have another guest coming on, too. But, okay, so name the Indiana Sprint Week. What's going on the rest of the week?
Actually, we start tomorrow night at Gas City I-69 Speedway. It'll be obviously the AMSOIL Sprint Cars, but the USAC Midwest Ford Focuses are also running tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, let's see, what is this? I can't even remember what day it is anymore.
This is Thursday here, Friday night.
Yeah, Saturday we will be at Kokomo Speedway. Sunday we'll be at Lawrenceburg Speedway. The following week on Tuesday night we'll go back to the Indianapolis Speedrome for another triple header. On Wednesday night, we'll have the sprint cars down at the Terre Haute Action Track. Thursday night, we'll have the sprint cars at Brownstown Speedway. Friday, we're at Bloomington Speedway. And Saturday's the finale at Tri-State Speedway in Hofstad.
Yeah. And when you get a chance, after you get up and through with all your radio gigs, send me a list of all that stuff just in plain English, and I'll put it everywhere I can on the website. We'll put it on the main page, too.
You betcha.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dick.
You bet.
Have a good
week. Next gentleman coming up to win this race.
Yeah,
tonight,
I know. Okay, time for a break, guys. Tom's going to get us in and out of the break, and then after the break, we've got a new guest coming up on Trackside Review Radio Style. Are you on break?
You know what? I'm glad that I am back here in the master control part. Getting ready to go into break. When we get right back, guys, we're live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. This is Trackside Review Radio Style. When we get back, RJ, I know that we've got another guest lined up ready to for you to pick their brain and data the brain. You're like Bob Barker of racing. You know, people are just, come on down.
You're the next contestant on Trackside Review Radio. We wouldn't be doing this, though. He knows how to go grab the guests. So.
All right. Minutes as well as yourself and RJ Cunningham. This is Trackside Review Radio Style right here on Long Talk Radio.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
And we are
live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. Right alongside me is R.J. Cunningham from Trackside Review. This is Trackside Review Radio Style. We got a little bit of rain jobs, but as Dick Jordan of USAC just told us, that's nothing to be worried about. And like I can see here, I can see sun on both sides of us on both sides of the cloud. So we're just under the dark cloud right here. So, in fact, part of the track is it's got sun and part of it's got rain. I know we got another guest right here. And I'll let you introduce him, Tanner, and then Statman Steve is going to be here as well right at the end of the second half of the show as well. So we're going to go ahead and RJ, it's all yours, buddy.
Okay, hey, race fans. Tom is getting much better. Just keep in mind, he knows all the baseball, basketball, football guys, and he's trying to teach me how to do the radio gig so we can do the radio show and the magazine together. And I'm here with Cody.
Tanner.
Yep. Tanner Swanson, okay. Cody, yeah, okay. I my bad. Hey, you're not a twin, I guess. I don't know. I've been away for 5 years, and you guys were still in diapers when I walked away from racing after my D-I-V-O-R-C. So, now that I'm back, I have to learn everybody again. So how you doing out there? It looks like you've been working. You guys are all working out there.
Yep. Yep. Well, actually, we've been working a lot more this week. My brother had a throttle hang wide open at Toledo last week and totaled his car on Friday night. So by the time we got done racing Saturday and Sunday last week, we got in the shop Monday and built him a brand new race car and finished it at about 3 o'clock. So
3 o'clock
today. So yeah, that's nice little yellow 75 car down there. So
yeah,
we've had a long week in the shop.
You guys have had one heck of a season with Hobstad, with him crashing, but you've had a great season yourself. It's just been fun watching the USAC guys, and I'm going to let the interviewing be done by Statman Steve, because
yep.
Steve was actually down at Hobstad, and Steve is the dirt king of Trackside Review. So I'm just going to let him take the microphone and let him interview you. And
so how do you do it?
Oh, not too bad.
What's car like tonight?
It should be good. Last time we were here, I think we ended up qualifying fourth and came from fourth to run second in the feature to my brother. So should be a good night. Hopefully it'll be pretty good if it stops raining here and pick up a win.
What was it like to run second behind your brother? Was it possible to get around him, or was it just a racetrack that night?
I actually ended up the first lap of practice last time we were here, spun a 360 coming up off turn two, so we tied my car up a lot that night, and then it ended up being about middle of the feature, just ran the right front off it and got real tight, and I couldn't get around Jacob Wilson to get the lead, so my brother ended up showing me a wheel, so I let him go around me, and he ended up getting a lead from Jacob, and I got Jacob a couple laps later and got back to Cody, but just couldn't do anything with him, in hindsight, we should have left the car a little bit looser, but, stuff happens, and all in all, not a bad run.
Out at Habstad that night, Cody was airlifted out. You had spun, you actually flipped just before Cody had his flip. Was your car running at the time that he flipped? Did you see it, or were you too far back? Or
I actually flipped right after him, but I was running, I think I'd gotten up to like fifth or sixth at the time, and racing real hard with Kyle Larson and got up to the lead pack, and then that's when he ended up flipping. So I stopped down in turn four, and a couple of the crew guys that had went over and seen Cody came over to me and told him that he was moving all of his extremities and whatever. And when I knew he'd be all right, I never went over and saw him at the track, but they told me when he was getting in the ambulance that he was apologizing for crashing the race car. So I knew that he should be right, all right, and get to the hospital just fine, and I'd see him later. So then I ended up going out, got bunched up in traffic, spun out, went to the back, came back to the front, and flipped over a couple laps later.
Right.
So,
what about Friday night in Toledo? That had to be just an awful feeling seeing your brother slam the ball as hard as he did up there in Toledo. Were you worried about it, or when he hopped out, or?
Not really. The first time I came rolling by, kind of had, been worried about it a little bit. And then once I came back around rolling the next time, he had already gotten out of the car and was walking back across the track. So at that point, I was just kind of worried. Didn't know how he crashed it. You know, I could see some pretty good trails falling into the fence. But, you know, just one of those things. Kind of worried for him. But once you see him walking around, it kind of goes away.
What's your week looking like for Indiana Sprint Week?
Actually, I don't have a dirt sprint car ride, so I just get to go spectate at most of them. So
a good week off, get everything put back together again. And Sunday we were at Terre Haute. Awful, awful conditions for the start of the race. I know Cody didn't ran it, but you did. I talked to Russ Gamester. Russ Gamester was involved in that flip. Car flipped over. It ran over his back right tire, flipped over the top of him, slid down his rail over his jack mount or shock mount, and didn't do no damage at all. Where were you involved when that flip happened? Did you see it? Were you around it? Or
shoot, I couldn't even see my front bumper. I had ended up, when they took the green, I figured it'd almost be more safe to keep rolling around than stopping. And I ended up rolling down through 1 and 2, and we got to the middle 1 and 2, and I could actually see some of the racetrack all right, and saw Bud Kading, and he was rolling around the bottom 2, and I kind of got around him and then pulled back down, and the only thing I could see was the inside guardrail, so I stayed right next to that.
Yeah, I saw you. I was taking a picture. I was taking a picture of you as cars were passing in the background. When I looked at the picture, I remember seeing the cars in the background. I couldn't see them when I saw the picture.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the only way that I could tell which direction I was going, because, I mean, I didn't know where the racetrack was going. If I knew we were on the backstretch, but I didn't know if I was freaking pointing at the wall or what. So I got to the inside guardrail and was just going to follow that around. And then before I knew it, Jeff Swindell was sitting there parked right in front of me, and I just clobbered the back of him. I don't even think I hit the brakes before I hit him, because I never even saw him.
Yeah, so, Jeff's car was pretty much totaled. It wasn't from you. It was from the original accident. You just got his gas tank.
Yeah. That's just one of those things, you know. It sucked. In hindsight, I should have just pulled off before we started racing. But, you know, we're race car drivers. This is what we do for a living. And, you know, that's no matter the conditions, that's what we're there to do our job. And, you know, it just sucks for all the car owners and everyone involved.
Yeah, we were there like 9.5 hours that day. It was a long day.
Yeah. And on top of that, we had just ran, you know, the night before, pavement midgets at Grundy County, which was,
in Illinois,
you know, 4 hours north. So we had driven all night, got to the hotel at 3 a.m. and was at the racetrack at 8 that I was supposed to be when stuff
started. Yeah, we got there at 9.
Just a bum day.
Well, it looks like it's raining a little bit harder here at Raceway Park. Hopefully we can keep the track dry. So what is your Silver Crown schedule like? You going to do all the races again this year?
Yeah, plan on racing everything. Right now we're sitting third in the points, so we're having a real good year in that thing. Hopefully it'll be a better year if they just cancel that Terre Haute event altogether.
Right.
That seems to be the two events that we struggle with are the short half miles. But, you know, we'll come back here, I think, the 28th of the month. We'll have a Silver Crown and Midget doubleheader here at ORP. And,
right, in ARCA.
Yep, in ARCA. And I'm really looking forward to that event. We had a good run here last year. Ended up having some issues with the car and had a flat right front. But, you know, it's always fun coming here to race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
So, with the ARCA cars being here, you can have two or three different kinds of tires here. How does your car react with two or three different kind of tire compound on the track?
Actually, I think it shouldn't be too bad, because the ARCA series still runs Hoosier tires. So, you know, normally when we've ran with other series, all the Hoosier stuff blends real well. We run into issues when somebody with Goodyear tires runs with us, and the Hoosier things, it just makes the track super greasy. But I think with them running Hoosier tires, it hopefully will still keep a decent racetrack and still have some fun.
I know Cody was leading the points before the Silver Crown race there at Terre Haute. How far back did he drop by missing that race? Do you know?
Oh,
I didn't check the points this week.
He was actually leading the sprint car points before Toledo. And so he's... I think he fell to fourth now, but he's only 15 points out. I think Santos is leading, and East is 1 point behind him.
It was the sprint car series. I'm sorry, it wasn't the Silver Crown series.
No, but the top three are all within 3 points in that series, so Cody's back there in fourth, only 15 out. So It should be fun here tonight. Hopefully we'll come out of here leading the point. One of the two of us, anyway.
Right. It'd be nice to go 1-2 again, but only you in the position of one.
Yeah. Yeah, I have yet to pick up a win here in 2011. Lots of podiums and lots of top fives, but hoping to get that win and hoping tonight will be the night.
Very good. Well, we thank you for coming up and talking to us tonight. Hope you have a good race. Hopefully, Cody, you have a good race, and we shall see you on the track here in a little while.
Yep, sounds good.
Have a good night. Thank you for talking to us tonight. So here we are at Raceway Park in the rain. I don't know if we're going to have boat races or if we're going to have a race tonight. It sure is getting a lot clearer right now. Sky, but it's going to take a while by this track. So.
Right, and well, I'm back in the master control here. I don't know if you like my quick change.
Guys, we are live right out here at Lucasville Raceway Park. We'll be right back to track time radio style. That means Stephen R.J. Cunningham will do the last half hour of the show. RJ, as well. You are listening to Trackside Review Radio. Not real.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
And welcome back to a very rainy Lucas Oil Raceway. What has happened in the last few minutes? The sun was shining. Now it's not shining. I do believe, like Dick said earlier, we're going to get this race in. We're live out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. You're on Blog Talk Radio, and this is Trackside Review Radio Style. Right alongside me is R.J. Cunningham, and Statman Steve is here in the booth with me as well. And on the line with me is Josh, $2 bill, Josh Elmore. Real quickly, Josh, we're going to get you in here as to the fact that we got to turn this over to Statman Steve and R.J. Cunningham to break down Thursday Night Thunder. So I don't think that R.J. can hear you. Is that correct, R.J.? So, Josh, what are your thoughts, any quick thoughts that you want to chime in on the show?
I was just going to encourage people to come out to Thursday Night Thunder. Unfortunately, due to work-related obligations, I can't make it tonight. But it's going to be a great time. I really wish I could be there. And USAC racing is probably the most exciting form of racing I've ever seen.
All right. That's $2 bill, Josh Elmore. Josh, we'll catch up with you very soon on Monday to do the balance wrap-up. Josh, you have yourself a great weekend. We are live right here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park in Indianapolis. Right next to me is R.J. Cunningham. I'm going to turn the captain's chair over to Statman Steve. I don't think that he's worthy of that yet, but we're going to go ahead and do that as soon as we can as soon as we can find Steve.
We've got to pry him away from all the
others. Steve just wanders around here. We've got to keep a leash on you there, buddy. So, RJ, it's Thursday Night Thunder. It's good to have Thursday Night Thunder. I know that it had a bit of a sabbatical, if you will, and it's back here in Indianapolis, right here at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. RJ, tell us a little bit about what Thursday Night Thunder is as we give the ears over here to Statman, the man, Steve.
Well, back in the day when I was much younger, Thursday Night Thunder was the catapult to get guys like Jeff Gordon into NASCAR. And now, TV has changed dramatically. And to be able to bring television back in the way it once was with ESPN is probably never going to happen. But I'm also a believer that the way the speed is with the Internet today, there'll be a time in the very near future where television can be done on the Internet instead of through normal TV avenues. And I believe that we could easily I think eventually he can come back on the Internet and be just fine. What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, I've watched all kinds of races on the Internet through YouTube, so it's not that hard of a situation to do, I'm sure. I would love to see that. I have a feeling that's eventually, like you said, the way it's going to go into the future, because TV, ABC, CBS, NBC, they're losing more and more money every year, so how much longer are they going to be on air, So
yeah. Well, they do run the pavement series on TV, and I've watched a couple of their races on the Internet. We just need to get the Internet, the high-speed Internet, into more and more areas. Once the super high-speed Internet is in more areas, then I just saw a note handed to me. I have no clue what it means.
It's Raceway, not Raceway Park anymore. It's Lucas Oil Raceway.
I gotcha.
Scott Smith was informing us of that fact.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I agree. Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis. That's what it is. Lucas Oil Raceway
right.
in Indianapolis. I must repeat that on my bulletin board at home 100 times. Hey, but, this track is just wet. I don't understand how the sun can be almost bright up there to the north. And right here over the speedway, but it, in my opinion, is kind of a dark day with NASCAR announcing the fact that this will be the last year for the trucks, and so I'm really disappointed. Yeah,
it's a big track.
Yeah, so hey, it happens, I guess. But there's
that's
nice
really
going to
hurt
Tanner
race day because of the fact that's their big money of the year race. As you can see, they put all kinds of extra grandstands up for that. I mean, I don't know if you've been out for the last few years, but there's hardly a seat available for those races. I mean, they've got Turn 1 down here where they have where you can bring your lawn chair and sit. People come out the night before and reserve their spot. So when you come out, I mean, there's a lot of places. But, I mean, it's packed down there in Turn 1 on the hill, and that's one of the best places to watch the race here, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've seen many, many, many great races here. I remember one year I was bound and determined to come to the race, and I walked over here, and lo and behold, somebody handed me a ticket. I couldn't believe it. They had somebody that wasn't going to show up, and I was ready to buy me a ticket. I knew it was a sellout, but I figured I was going to get to this race anyway. And sure enough, somebody had an extra ticket. I'll never forget that day. That was kind of cool. That was the year that Tony Stewart ran in the race. And he had just moved up into the Nationwide, was Busch Series.
Then. Right.
And they just beat him to a pulp that day.
Yeah.
NASCAR. Yeah, yeah. Here you go. Try this wall over here. Try that wall. And it was just one wall after another. And in the following year, he was moved up in the NASCAR big-time series.
When he was with, I believe, wasn't Tony the one, or was that Jeff Gordon that was with Ford?
Jeff Gordon was with Ford.
And he dumped Ford to go to Chevy to go into NASCAR.
So,
Josh, are you still with us? No? Okay.
I know Gary is trying to put together the magazine, and he's listening to the show up there in the big Geist area. I'll bet it's not even raining up in Geist. I'll bet the sun is shining, and he's either doing the magazine or out on his run or whatever.
Yeah,
but
listening, Gary, I've got a lot of people interested in that magazine. I need them so I can get them out on the market.
Gary is working as fast as he can, but you know, he knows how to put the magazine together, but he knows even less about racing. So we've got to get him out to the racetrack so he learns more. But it's going to take more than just a time or two to get this thing done. But I had to have somebody that knew Adobe. And for those that are listening to the radio show and they see the magazine, I think they'll really like the fact that I let someone put it together that's got the training. Gary was a teacher of Adobe software for 25 years and retired from that and now has Tenmatic, and he does a videography for the web. And he's going to talk a little bit about that within the context of the magazine. But the magazine will also have audio clips. Steve and Tom and I, we've all done these audio clips all season long, and we're going to put about 20 or 25 audio clips within the context of the CD-ROM. So a lot of these interviews that you've heard on the Balance and Tracks Interview Radio Style, you're going to be able to hear them on the web and also on the CD-ROM. So anyway, it's pretty cool. I have no clue where we are since I can't hear anything. And
we're at Raceway Park, and it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining pretty daggone good, too, I'm telling you.
I don't know if anybody has been on the website today, but I wrote an article.
Pat
about
Sullivan.
The web page mentioned on my website, and I thought I wrote a pretty good article about it.
Yeah, you did. Your articles are improving quite a bit. I mean, it's just like you and I both. You know, I've been away from writing, period, for 5 years. I was in a total absolute depression, and you've been shooting photos
right. With
the wrong kind of camera. Now
right. You've
got the right kind of camera, and you're trying to pick the brain of other people. Pat Sullivan over there, the announcer of the racetrack, he hits the wall hard. Yellow in the media room.
We may have to go red.
I've never seen anybody break a chair. Now, I would understand that with you.
Yeah.
But maybe I can't believe that chair broke. Somebody must have cut that chair
One thing I want to bring up is I drove the beautiful Trackside Review motorhome out to Terre Haute this week, Saturday or Sunday, for the Silver Crown race. And it got called due to track condition. They went green, and it immediately went black with dust.
Yeah, I heard you guys describing that.
Right. As Tanner was saying, I was standing down right by the track taking pictures, and Tanner went by me. I took a shot of Tanner, and there was four cars in between him and the wall, and we were only talking 50 feet, and I couldn't see any of them go by. I just know because of the noise as they went by.
Wow.
As I was talking about Russ Gamster, unbelievable. Somebody hit his right rear tire, went up, flipped over the top of him, slid down the front well over the shock mount, and never hurt his car a bit. So that was just – I just wish I had a shot of that.
Oh, I had no – you know, guys, you know, I love this show to death, and I really love Tom. He's like a brother to me, but by me not knowing where we are in the show, I don't know where the brakes are, I don't know anything, I'm good. Tom's signaling us, and we're good. And I'm
He's
just hoping the rain quits
here in the chair.
Looks like the rain's about to quit.
Yeah, sure has. It looks a lot lighter out there now. So, and we have Dick Jordan's assurance that we will be running this race tonight. So if you're within our hearing voice, come on out.
Yeah, we've got our entry list. AJ Fike is here. Tracy Hines is here. Bobby East, JoJo Hilberg, Caleb Armstrong, Jacob Wilson, Chris Windham, Tanner Swanson, Cody Swanson, Louis Ramos, Aaron Pierce, AJ Fike, Brian Gerster, Russ Gamster, Eric Gordon, Brian Olson, and Bobby Santos. So, and the Jason McCord has the track record here at 123.361, and Tracy Hines has the fastest 30-lap average at 118.123. So
I have the track itinerary in my formerly nicotine cigar stained hand.
We even got a laugh out of Tom out of that one.
I'm going to try to go through this, but I'm sure it's going to change now. We got pit gates open at 525, Thunder Roadster qualifying at 555 in practice, which obviously we're not going to meet that. Practice and qualifying at between 6 and 7 for USAC. Thunder Roadster feature at 7:15. Heat races at 8 for the USAC races. Autograph session 8:30. That may be moved up because of the fact that truck sweat. Maybe we can get that in there sooner. And then pre-race at 8:30, and then the 30-lap feature starts at 9. Like I said, if you're in the Indianapolis area, you might still want to come out because it ought to be a great race. I think there's 18 cars here, isn't there? 19 or 91?
Yeah, I think. The thing is, the rain just quit, I believe, and they are starting to take the cars out to dry the track. So, and they have jet dryers. So, 2 minutes.
Two minute warning.
2 minute warning.
I know Josh was on the line earlier. His porte is the IndyCar series. I was going to ask him what he thought about the IndyCar race in Milwaukee and in Newton, but he's not here, so I'll have to ask him next week. They're taking the trucks out onto the track now to start drying it. It shouldn't take very long to dry this track. It doesn't take very long. So what's been your big plans this weekend, RJ?
I thought you and I were going to try to go to Kokomo.
Oh, Thursday night.
And I'm going to go to Bloomington because I'm going to watch a dirt late model race on Friday night.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
You can't go. You already made your commitment for Saturday night.
Yeah, my wife probably wouldn't like three races in one weekend.
I'm going to go to watch some UMP modifieds over in Vermilion County Speedway in Illinois, Danville, Illinois on Sunday. I've got to get different kind of shots, different kind of things. We're going to put a calendar together at the end of the year, and I want to make sure I get all the different kinds of cars on this calendar.
You're not going to be one of the calendar girls, are you?
Stepman Steve asked if he could be the centerfold.
I saw that Speedo that he was wanting to wear. Hey, guys, we're live right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis because there is no park here. But you can park here. It looks like we're under a little bit of a rain delay, as you and Statman Steve were talking about. And one of the things that you brought up about the changes in the 2012 racing season is that there's no longer going to be truck racing here at Lucas Oil Raceway. Now, one of the things that is going to be new to the Indianapolis area is the Grand Am Series. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the Grand Am Series is a road racing series that runs prototype cars. We'd never seen them in Indianapolis, and I do look forward to seeing that. I really do. But what I don't look forward to is seeing the racing go away from here. I'm going to be crying in my beer for quite a while over this because I just don't think that's
right.
To me, it was a bigger race than the Brickyard
400. And that's something that maybe we can get Scott on the show to talk about with us. But obviously, I think that's just maybe it's signs of improvement or growth, and maybe they'll bring the truck series back somewhere close to here within driving distance here in Indianapolis. Again, we are out here at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, west of Indianapolis, Indiana. So come on out. Tonight is Thursday Night Thunder. It's so good to have
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Back to Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis. It looks like we got one of those Florida rain showers. You could almost, you know, I used to live in Lakeland, Florida when I worked for Disney, and you could almost set your clock by an afternoon shower that was going to happen. So maybe that's what we're at, because I tell you what, part of the track has sun, part of the track has rain. And so I think we're going to get Thursday Night Thunder in here, Indianapolis Raceway. We've had some great guests on the show today here on Trackside Review Radio Style, Dick Jordan from USAC, and Tanner Swanson as well, and talked a little bit about his brother's wreck down in Hobstadt, Indiana, which was a pretty serious wreck as well. And that's certainly one of the things that a lot of people, especially race fans, they like to see the wreck, but a lot of people don't understand what goes on behind the wreck. So, RJ, I know that you really your big thing is to get race fans out here to the track. What can, on Thursday Night Thunder, what can the amateur race fan, if you will, find, and what's here for them?
Well, what they see, if they come out here to Thursday Night Thunder, they see open wheel cars that, if they touch wheels at all, could very easily end up barrel rolling down the straightaway or in a corner. You can't see that with the Nationwide Series or any other stock car series. There may be more cars, but it's not nearly as dangerous. So if you like danger, that's what you want to see, is this kind of racing. And, you know, I've always been a fan of open wheel racing since I was a kid.
Oh,
so.
Well, we're just getting some news here that the race has been canceled, August 18th. And if we can try to find Scott. Is Scott around? Smith? We'll try to get Scott in here, and we'll talk a little bit to him about what's going on. But it appears that the race has been canceled and has been rescheduled. So we'll try to get Scott Smith in here in the booth here, public relations director here at Lucas Oil Raceway, and talk a little bit about the cancellation and also a little bit about the
and
truck
I'm going
series.
To let you interview him, because I'm in such a mood that I might not be allowed into if I get to interview him, then I'm going to tick off NASCAR.
That's okay.
Say that's okay. Yeah, when we were doing the paperwork thing.
The Rush Limbaugh thing. Guys, we do want to get your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're trying to get public relations director here of Lucas Oil Raceway here in Indianapolis to come in here to the booth with us. I do know that they've just canceled the race to be rescheduled for August the 18th. Is that what she said there?
I think so.
Okay.
It's either 18th or 19th. It'll be a Thursday, though, I'm sure.
Okay, we've got the signal that we're going to get Scott here in just a minute. I want to make sure that we do talk with him about what's going on here at Lucas Oil Raceway. But we did have some great guests on today, and of course, it's always good to have the races back here at Lucas Oil Raceway as well. Now, RJ, you and I have did some extensive traveling, if you will, over the last month. And it's been exciting to go to both Iowa and Milwaukee, and we've had an opportunity to see all kinds of race fans. And I was really enjoyed up there in Iowa, the track that they've got up there in Iowa, and how race fan-friendly that is. And one of the things that you focus on with Trackside Review, the magazine, is getting race fans into the track. So tell us a little bit about the Iowa Speedway, and how friendly that is, and just for the race fans in general, as we get Scott geared up.
Yeah, you're getting mic'd up. Well, the thing I liked about the Iowa Speedway is they did something that I thought was a very unique program. They did a ticket package. And when I was up talking to the fans, they allowed them to buy season tickets for every event at Iowa Speedway. So even though they may have been a NASCAR fan or a Craftsman truck fan or another series, they bought a season ticket that was like $250 that got them in every single event. And that was a big plus. So everybody gets the good stuff but me, including Scott Smith. Scott, it's nice. It's nice to see you. I'm a little depressed, and you got to try to watch me so I don't get sued by this other racing series, which I don't want to mention. So tell me exactly what's going on with Lucas Oil Raceway and NASCAR.
Well, with the NASCAR event, obviously yesterday there was a lot of news that came out, and the biggest part of it is that the Nationwide Series and the Truck Series aren't going to return to the facility during their traditional late July, early August date. With the Nationwide Series is going over to the Motor Speedway. They'll be racing over there. And the Truck Series, we're still never say never, but a lot of things would have to kind of line up correctly to bring them back that weekend or even on another weekend during the course of the season. So, but that being said, we're still, you know, we're going to look at a lot of different options for that weekend for 2012. But for this year, the most important thing is that we're going to celebrate the 30th annual Kroger 200. And, you know, Kroger, with their 30 years of sponsorship with the Nationwide Series being here 30 years, that's where we're at right now. And that's what we're really going to celebrate and look forward to at the end of the month.
Okay, now, there are a few tickets left for the event?
There are, yeah, definitely tickets available for the truck race, Nationwide race, ARCA race, and then the USAC Silver Crown and Midget race that takes place on Thursday. So
now you can see the phone numbers on TrackSideReview.com, but rattle off the phone number to Raceway Park real quick.
NHRATIX.com is actually the easiest and best way to get tickets.
Now, have you guys already started to look for other races next year? I bet the phone's been ringing. Is Hooters Pro Cup still in it? I would imagine that every series is trying to jump in to replace that. And I'm sure you're not going to tell me anything, but I'd like to know all that stuff. But, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever replaces it. You know, the thing is, you know, the NASCAR series was obviously the top dog, but even the ARCA trucks, all the other series, you know, they can bring some good things to this track too. So, anyway, race fans, this is a chance of a lifetime, really, to come out here. There are some tickets left. I'd highly recommend you come out here. There is not a bad seat in this entire facility. And you're going to see some great racing. And believe me, the person that wins wants to win the last race that was here, maybe forever. Who knows? I hope not, but we'll see.
And definitely, there are, like you know, you said, there are tickets still available. And while we do have the never say never attitude, I think it's really imperative for fans to come out. If they want to see the Nationwide Series and they want to see the Truck Series, you know, definitely come out and get your tickets and come out. I mean, 11, 12 rows up, you can see the entire racetrack. And, you know, during the summer, you know, July 28th, 29th, and 30th, it's a great view. And it's a fun event. And so we're looking forward to it. And we have been talking to a lot of different, you know, sanctioning bodies and different groups and, you know, seeing what the best fit is for that weekend for next year and years to come. So it's we've gotten emails, phone calls, a lot of different things this past week.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying, I told you so, this was going to happen, I knew this was going to happen. You know, I don't want to hear all that. All I care about is it's racing. And there'll be something here, and they're going to keep the track moving and buzzing next year during the Brickyard 400. And this is a great racetrack, guys. I grew up here. Scott is too young to know how many times I snuck in here, so I can't get in trouble for telling him that I actually only snuck in twice. But, you know, all those holes around the track are filled now, so you can't sneak in anymore. But the tickets are always inexpensive. It's a very fan-friendly atmosphere. And if you've never been to Lucas Raceway Park, you need to get out. And I think Tom's looking at the board, and he's not signaling me, so we're still good. But what else is happening after the Kroger race?
Well, after that weekend, we obviously go into the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals, the world's largest drag race held, you know, just right behind us from where we're sitting right now. And that's going to be a cool event, too. It's going to be the 60th anniversary of the NHRA. So we've got Shirley Muldowney, Don Garlitz, Bob Glidden, local guy. You know, a lot of those drivers are going to be coming out during the course of that event and really celebrating the rich and dynamic history of the NHRA. So Labor Day weekend, it'll be a busy time of the year out here.
Right. I was here last year. I spent 3 days out here with a lady friend of mine, and she is an avid Eleanor Phelps. Lives in over near Terre Haute, and she brought her son out here and her brother and sister, and we had a good time out here. And she's one of those people that's on the NHRA site daily. She's totally. I'd like to see her write for the magazine, but I know that's never going to happen now. But it's a cool event. It was funny, Danny Laycock, who runs a sprint car show on Monday nights in Indianapolis. I caught him out here. He said he didn't like anything but sprint cars and this and that. So him and I were both out here. And if you've never seen a top fueler or a funny car, I mean, your chest will shake for hours after you leave the track, not just while you're here. Oh, we got the 2-minute warning. So anyway, race is called tonight, so when are they going to run it again?
Our next one will be August 18th.
Okay.
Will be the next Thunder race.
Okay. So hopefully we'll get Gary out here then with his video stuff. I still say we're going to bring back Thursday Night Thunder on TV, only we're going to do it all on the internet. That's my goal. I'm shooting for that goal. There's no reason we need regular TV anymore. We just bring out about $20,000 worth of cameras out here. We'll shoot the race ourselves.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
So all we need is the funding. So I'm wrapping it up. Is that what I'm doing? Wrapping it up. Hey, race fans, this is Trackside Review Radio style. I think we're wrapping it up here. Join us next week from 4 to 6. First hour, Sick Ball. The next hour, True Blue Racing.
That's right. It's been a great time, even though it rained out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. We had some great guests. Thanks, Scott, for joining us there at the last minute. Dick Jordan also was on board with us, as well as Tanner Swanson. And, of course, Josh $2 Bill Elmore from the first hour, and we covered the stick and ball. Guys, that's it. That's going to do it from right out here at Lucas Oil Raceway. Remember to check us out online, www.TrackSideReview.com and www.TheBalanceOnline.com. And also you can download all of the archive shows off of iTunes. So we look forward to seeing you again next Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a b, didn't you? That's all, folks.